Hello there, America Trends podcast listener. I'm Larry Rifkin, along with my partner, John Krofcik. And John, we are so grateful that among the sea of options that people have in the podcast realm, that folks listening right now have decided that they want to see where we're headed. Iceberg ahead. Look out.
Yeah, we got to be careful for those icebergs.
I know. Are we on the Titanic? I don't know. We try to be hopeful and optimistic, but I've got to tell you, John, that this is going to be a unique listening experience the next half hour on America Trends. And it's going to be a little hard to listen to this if you have a son or a grandson or a nephew. And I know that it concerns me an awful lot what you and I learned from our next guest.
Yeah, this is a big crisis, and it's just bad. It's bad. You know, we got kids joining gangs. We got boys, you know, just not doing anything, playing games, and they're not getting started.
Well, that's the great point here, that our boys are adrift and our boys are in crisis. And that is what you are going to come away with understanding here on America Trends. Now, boys in our culture, you wonder, well, why are they in such trouble? Because we're hearing so much, John, about the abuses suffered by young women in our culture. And that is no less real. But the women in our culture seem to be doing well and rising above some of the problems that we often, men, create. And frankly, if we've got more distressed young boys without good role models who are absent a father, you're going to have more trouble for the girls on the other side. And they're going to be looking upon these guys as not worthy of their true attention. And then the boys try to get their attention in untoward ways.
Well, I think the boys have been under attack for a long time. I remember when my boys were small and they came up with this idea, bring your daughter to work day. And I thought, you know, this really isn't right, you know, I mean, because boys need to be introduced to work as well as girls do. And I'm not saying that girls in the past weren't left out, but I mean, we got to treat them kind of more equally. So, but then, I mean, it's gone more and more in the schools. I think teachers also really don't like teaching to boys a lot because they have so much energy when they're young. And I think, you know, girls seem to settle. My daughter, she was always an A student. She would sit, but my two boys, I'd be, you know, I'd get a call from the school.
Yeah, but John, you're a good father. I mean, many of these kids have no fathers. They have no male role models. And often in schools, they see a lot of females,
right?
Particularly in elementary school. They don't see a lot of men. And so we've got this crisis where we, the older men, are failing as mentors, as fathers, as caregivers.
That's true.
And this is all coming into play in different ways. I mean, for example, one of our guests coming up talks about prisons and said, basically, if you want to put another moniker on a prison, call it a home for fatherless boys, because 9 out of 10 guys in these prisons, if you ask them what their story is, it was a story absent a father.
I'm sure that. And that's why these gangs are getting so big, because these boys are looking for people to emulate, and they're emulating the wrong people.
Yeah, and they're just looking for something to believe in and belong to where they feel they are accepted. Well, we've got two podcasts that we're going to be bringing to you on this topic. First, you're going to meet Dr. Leonard Sachs. He's a practicing family physician, psychologist, and best-selling author. We did this interview on our radio program, John, as you recall, yep, back in 2016, after he had published the book Boys Adrift. And he's got a lot of messages in that book about astonishing new research on video games, the emasculation of boys and synthetic toxins in our foods, the growing gender gap in education. And after that, John, we follow it up with a fascinating man, as you recall, Dr. Warren Farrell,
yep,
who, along with Dr. John Gray. Now, John Gray wrote that book.
Men are from Venus.
Well, no, men are from Mars.
Oh.
And women are from Venus.
I was on the wrong planet there.
I know. But they have collaborated on the book, The Boy Crisis. And together, this all makes compelling information that you have to understand if there's a boy important to you in your life. And then share this information. So, John, why don't we start with Dr. Leonard Sachs, and then we'll move along. But this is one of the saddest duopolies of a podcast. Can I call us a duopoly when we have two, really, that we've done? And it's sobering information.
It's a double play.
A double play, but very important for us to hear on America Trends. Boys Adrift. This is just a great book. The five factors driving the growing epidemic of unmotivated boys and underachieving young men. And Dr. Leonard Sachs was with us. I don't know, Doctor, when it was, but I always remembered your presentation. You're both a PhD and an MD. Remarkable man. And I thank you for looking in at this trend. And how worrisome is it to you?
Well, I'm a practicing physician, and I see many families where parents are concerned about their son because he's a goofball, he's not working as hard as he should be. The daughter's having problems, too, very often, but the daughter is having different kinds of problems. She's anxious, she's concerned. Girls and boys are both struggling, but they're struggling in different ways, and there's a growing proportion of boys in this country who are spending their free time playing video games and looking at pornography, and it is undermining their motivation to achieve in the real world.
And so this is not just observational. I mean, this is scientific literature. This is looking in for 20 years of clinical experience. I mean, how set are you on these findings? Obviously, you've captured it in a book. But, I mean, rather than being anecdotal, that this really is a trend and that it really can be kind of anchored to various factors in our culture.
Sure. There's more than 400 scholarly references in the book documenting on just a very wide array of parameters the ways in which there's a growing gap in achievement with boys falling farther and farther behind. So, for example, the Boston Globe publishes the names of the valedictorians at each of the 42 Boston high schools, and this year 30 were girls and 12 were boys, and that's pretty consistent. Girls typically outnumber boys by more than 2-to-1 now among those earning highest honors. And when you look closely at the data, what you find is that it's not so much that girls are doing better, it's that boys are doing worse. Boys, white, black, and Latino boys, are doing significantly less well academically than their fathers were doing, for example. Boys in this country used to read for fun. It may be hard to believe, but it's true. It's well documented. American boys no longer do. White, black, and Latino boys rarely read for fun. They're less, significantly less likely to read for fun than their sisters are. Look, the fact that more girls are earning highest honors and going to university is good news. That's not the problem. The question is, why didn't we level off at 50-50? When you look, for example, at university enrollment, you find that 40 years ago, men outnumbered women. But among those earning highest honors, men greatly outnumbered women 40 years ago. Men were overrepresented 40 years ago. College women were more likely than men were to drop out of college, very often because they were getting married and starting a family. Today, American men greatly outnumber women among those who are dropping out and failing to earn a college degree. And it's rarely because he's staying home to raise a young baby. More often, it's because he's going back to his parents' home to play video games in the basement.
Yeah, I mean, Charles Murray has also documented this factor among particularly low-income white boys. And the question is, one thing you didn't mention were Asians. And, you know, it's interesting, when I see the valedictorians here and I see their pictures, there are a lot of Asian guys and gals who are valedictorians.
Right. Indeed, and I already mentioned that this is a problem among white, black, and Latino boys, much less of a problem among Asian boys. I myself am a graduate of MIT, and when I attended MIT and graduated in 1980, the great majority of students at MIT were white boys. I recently visited MIT. I spoke at a school nearby, and The undergraduate campus now is remarkably different. It is Asian boys and white girls. The white boys are now a minority, and I've actually spoken with and exchanged data with the former chief admissions at MIT, who described her own astonishment at the decline in white boys. And it's simply because the white boys are not qualified. Asian boys and white girls now earn better marks at high school and have a more impressive application. There was never a decision, she told me, on the part of MIT, not to accept white boys. It's simply that accepting the best and the brightest, white boys no longer make the cut.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you say that there are social, cultural, and biological factors that have created this environment that is not, showing boys off to their best light. And you say there's some astonishing new research on video games and their responsibility in this mix.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the new edition of my book, Boys Adrift, really has lots and lots of new data. You know, people have been studying video games for 30 years. And I have been following that research for 30 years. I've been a medical doctor and a PhD psychologist for 30 years. And the research in the 80s and the 90s really didn't show much of an effect. And a premature consensus kind of arose that the video games don't really seem to do very much, because indeed the research in that era didn't show much of an effect. But the research in the last 5 to 7 years or so is showing something very different. It's showing profound effects of video games, particularly the violent video games like Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto. And sometimes people ask me when I do these presentations, why is this? Why are we seeing such different findings from the new research compared to the old research? And the basic answer is that video games changed. Grand Theft Auto is not Pac-Man. It's a completely different experience. It's much more immersive. Craig Anderson and Doug Gentile, two scholars who've been studying this for some years now, find that the average boy playing Grand Theft Auto spends about 2.5 hours in a session. And it's immersive, and it really creates a different world. And so it is now common to find American boys who care more about finishing all the missions in Grand Theft Auto than they care about getting an A instead of a B in Spanish. And that is true even of well-educated boys from families with well-educated parents in affluent neighborhoods. It's really quite striking.
But what does that say? I mean, does it say that there is still this lingering thought that, white males have been, let's be honest, I mean, on top of, just about every scale in terms of corporate America, economic success for a long period of time? Are parents kind of lessening their guard and thinking that this kid is just going to grow out of this, that he's got all kinds of ability, but he may be a little adrift, but that's just because of his age and being a guy, and we'll just let him keep playing these things, and he'll get on course? I mean, what's going on within that affluent family?
Talking about why this is more of a problem for white and black boys compared with Asian boys, I think it ties into another issue which I addressed in my most recent book called The Collapse of Parenting, which is that it is common to find white parents who have no problem with their son spending 3 hours in his bedroom with the door closed doing, the parents have no idea what he's doing. That's much less common for Asian parents. Asian parents are much more comfortable asserting their authority and saying, no, you're not allowed to spend 3 hours a day playing Grand Theft Auto. Whereas many white parents feel uncomfortable with asserting a parental authority. And I think that's a major part of the answer. It's not the whole story, but it's a big part of the reason why we see more white boys in the United States. Now, international comparisons are different. In Korea and in Japan, it is common to find boys who are addicted to video games. There's a whole phenomenon in Japan of what's called hikikomori, which is boys who have deliberately stepped out and withdrawn and spend their whole day in their room, and their mother brings their meal to the boy and sets it on a tray outside the door, like room service. So you have to be very cautious, and you can't make broad generalizations about ethnicity. But certainly there are many white families in the United States where the boy is spending hours a day in his bedroom with the door closed, and the parents feel uneasy asserting any authority over what that boy is doing. And one of the objectives of my book, Boys Adrift, is to empower parents to say, you need to know what your son is doing, and you need to govern and guide what he is doing with that device. Because we have very good data that that boy who's spending hours a day playing video games and looking at pornography is much more likely to be anxious, to be depressed, and to be unhappy. Boys are not born knowing what it means to be a kind, productive, courteous gentleman. They have to be taught, and they will not learn that by playing video games, looking at pornography, or immersing themselves in the social media world, which is governed by Akon, Eminem, 50 Cent, Justin Timberlake, Miley Cyrus, and Kim Kardashian.
Boy, you seem to know all of them pretty well.
But well, I do a lot of conversations with
I'm kidding.
Teenagers.
Boys Adrift.
They tell me what they do. Yeah. That's my first question when I meet with teenagers is, what do you like to do in your spare time?
Yeah.
And I call on kids who have their hands raised. And many 15, 16, 17-year-old boys in the United States will boast that their favorite activity is looking at porn or playing video games.
All right, 203-757-1320. If you'd like to talk about Boys Adrift, and this is, again, empirically based, Leonard Sachs, MD, PhD, the five factors driving the growing epidemic of unmotivated boys and underachieving young men. So we talked about the new research on video games. What about the whole idea of the emasculation of boys? We've heard this time and again. Take us through the research on this.
Well, when you look at testosterone levels of young men in the United States, you find that they're roughly half what testosterone levels were 50 years ago. There's been a continuous decline in not only the United States, but in Western Europe as well. That appears to be related to endocrine disruptors, which has to do with man-made toxins in foods, beverages, and cosmetics. That have the unintended effect of lowering male hormone levels. And why does this matter? It matters because it turns out that boys and young men depend on testosterone for a big part of their drive. That's not true of girls and women. When researchers study the most motivated young women, they don't find any difference in testosterone levels between the most motivated and the least motivated for women. But when you look at the most motivated men and hardest working men, you do find higher testosterone levels compared with the least motivated men. So men seem to need testosterone, at least young men seem to need testosterone for drive and motivation, whereas women don't. And when testosterone levels drop, you find more and more young men who are not motivated. And one of the questions I keep addressing in the book is, why should we care? What difference does it make? So what? For most of recorded history, men have been dominant and in charge, and now the pendulum's swinging the other way, and women now account for the majority of university graduates, the great majority of those graduating with honors. Why is that a problem? Why should we be at all concerned? And the answer actually comes from research by Canadians, Mark Frenetta and his colleagues, Clark and Nima, among others. And they have a wonderful phrase to explain why we should be concerned. Three words: educational assortative mating. Educational assortative mating. Mm. What that means is that women who earned a university degree, if they're going to marry a man, they're usually looking for a man who has equal or greater educational attainment. And the reverse is not true. A man who's earned a four-year degree may have a number of qualifications in mind for his bride, but it turns out that educational attainment is not anywhere near the top. Good looks ranks much higher, for example. But for women, a woman is looking for a man who has equal or greater educational achievement than she has. And there are not enough good men to go around. And the result is a plummeting infertility among white, black, and Latino families in North America. This is true across socioeconomic levels. So for 19 years, I was a medical doctor in suburban Maryland, and a girl I knew very well lived across the street from me. I met her when she was 10, when she was 25 years old. I asked her, I said, Lauren, I just bumped into Brett the other day, and he just went on and on about how great you are and how beautiful you are and how funny you are. I said, Lauren, how come you don't want to marry the father of your two children? She had two kids by the same man, but she was not living with him and not married to him. I said, how come you don't want to marry him? And she said, Dr. Sachs, I already have two babies at home. I don't need a third. Women are looking to marry a man who is as ambitious, as accomplished as they are, or more so. And as a result of these phenomena that I describe in my book, Boys Adrift, there are not enough good men to go around.
Yeah, this is all fascinating. I want to get into one other of the factors, and then I'll let people get the book. And if you have a boy or a grandson, and this has intrigued you, as I'm sure it has, Boys Adrift, Dr. Leonard Sachs, and I'm so glad that he's come back to us. Troubling research on medications for ADHD as one of these factors. Tell us what's happened here.
Right. So the United States is an outlier. A kid in the United States is now 14 times more likely to be on medication for ADHD compared to a kid in the United Kingdom. And that wasn't true 40 years ago. 40 years ago, there was no difference between our two countries. But over the last 40 years, there's been an explosion in the prescribing of medications like Adderall, Vyvanse, Ritalin, Concerta, Metadate, Focalin, Detrana, medications used in the treatment of ADHD in this country, much more so than in any other country on the planet. And, well, why is that a problem? It's a problem because these medications, we now have 14 different studies showing that these medications damage the motivational center of the brain, the nucleus accumbens. And, again, I have all that research in my book, Boys Adrift, good scholarly peer-reviewed research from Harvard, from across the United States, and from around the world. The nucleus accumbens, the motivational center of the brain, is damaged by these medications. And the result, if a boy is on these medications, is a boy who is not motivated. Now, it doesn't affect learning or mood, and many of these boys are perfectly content. In my own practice, mom confronts her son. She says, you know, what's your problem? You roll out of bed late every morning. You work a few hours a week at the coffee shop. You're 28 years old. You don't have a life. You don't even have a girlfriend. And he laughs, and he says, well, I used to have a girlfriend. And she found out I only work a few hours a week at the Starbucks. She dumped me. Mm. And mom was like, well, what young woman wants to be with a man who has no ambition to earn more than pocket money for his video games and his pornography? And she insisted he come see me, which he did. He was fine with that. This boy was on these medications from 9 to 15 years of age, prescribed by another doctor. And he's perfectly content with his 55-inch flat screen and his video games. Mom is pulling her hair out, but he's happy. That's what it looks like.
Fascinating stuff. Dr. Leonard Sachs, thank you so much for continued writing and research and for coming on and sharing it with my audience. I really do appreciate it, and I hope people will pick this up because this is important stuff societally. I mean, it really is. If you want, in closing, I mean, tell us what impact you think it is having on American life today.
Well, I'm not optimistic about Anglophone America, but I'm very optimistic for the human race. The human race is more than just white people who speak English. And there are many, many communities that have a strong community standards. But I'm a white person who's speaking English at home, and you can make a difference. Don't use medication as a first resort. Don't buy things packaged in plastic. Don't microwave in plastic. prioritize the family above same-age peer relations and turn off the screens and get outdoors with your kid and spend time together. Those are some of the concrete guidelines that I provide in the book.
Well, very important message. Thank you. Delivered with someone who has great authority to deliver it. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. And look, there are important half hours, and then there are ones that we kind of chuckle away, but that was an important one. And I hope that you will take heed to what he said, particularly if you've got a boy in your care.